Hi everyone, Alexa here. Thanks so much for listening to my Prison Break One Shot. First things first, I want to thank my friend Ben for always letting me pick his brain on all things D&D. And secondly, I want to remind you that this podcast is not safe for work, as there is a lot of cussing, sexual innuendos, and graphic depictions of violence. Viewer discretion is advised.
We're ready.
All right. Everyone have dice?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or some, okay, I need you to all roll Constitution and Perception, so give me what those numbers are. Constitution first, Perception second.
Gandamort's Constitution is an 18. My Gandamort's Perception is 10.
Mine was 12 for Constitution and 18 for Perception.
Okay. My Constitution is 3.
Nice.
That's 11.
Knuckles McKenzie.
I don't have any dice, and I'm doing my damnedest to get to D&D and beyond so I can roll some virtuals.
Her perception was actually 15.
Okay.
Okay, I got an 11 and a 17.
Everyone except for Austin and Chris are passed out right now, so don't worry about saying anything for the moment. You wake up in the middle of a dirt field. And you can see that in front of you is an impressive stone wall belonging to a large white building that, despite being in the middle of a dirt field, is unnaturally clean, almost sparkling even. And there are two large orcs standing guard in front of the door leading to the building. There seem to be several other people in the field with you that also seem to be just waking up or coming to their senses. A few are still out cold on the ground. Chris and Austin, give me kind of your reactions and what you do.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Are we just in an open field? Like, are we in individual cells?
You're out on the yard, I guess. Okay. I would say. But you're just now waking up, so like you're just, dirt field is kind of all you've got right now.
I mean, how do we feel? Like, are we
you're
hurting?
Drugged. Okay. You're drugged. You're just kind of drowsy.
Oh man, what in the world happened to me?
Oh boy, my head hurts real bad. This is terrible.
Why?
This is worse than spring break.
How big is the wall?
So what you can see is right in front of you is just a huge building. So like 100, like let's say 100 feet wide. Like let's say 100 feet wide, 50 feet tall.
Okay.
That's huge.
In front of you. Do you want to, I guess I can give you more details. So besides being in front of you, that building, you take a look behind you and there are watchtowers, but no one's standing guard on top of them. So beyond those towers, you can see a vast forest, and strangely enough, there's no fence separating you from the tree line.
Excuse me. Excuse me, where am I? Where? Somebody tell me where I am.
Are you asking me? I don't know.
I don't care. You can answer the question if you want.
I don't know.
Who are you? Who are you?
My name's Maurice. What's your name?
You don't know me. I'm the great Gandamort Smellman. Everybody knows who I am.
Oh, Mr. Smellman.
Smellman, Maurice. Spellman, you know, like casting spells.
Oh, yeah. Magic is a thing. I am remembering now.
The other two, you guys can start waking up now as well.
I just got shocked in my ear.
Is that like a magic thing, Mr. Smellman?
It's sort of like it's like an ailment that I have. I have shock ear infection. Sometimes I just get randomly shocked in my ear.
Oh, you know, my Aunt Gertrude used to have the same thing.
What did she do to get rid of it?
Oh, no, she just lived with it.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
Yeah, no, there was really no cure in it. So what's up with these bozos? Are they just waking up or what?
Hello. Waking up here.
Hey, you over there, where are we?
We're in a field. And there's a wall over there.
Well, thank you, Captain Obvious.
Gandamort stares at Persephone with loathing.
Wow, I'm sensing a whole lot of loathing going on here.
Shocked in my ear.
I can hear it.
You heard it?
Mm-hmm.
See, I told you, I have lightning ear.
So, do any of you remember how we ended up here?
Mackenzie, sorry to interrupt you. I know there was a time and a place for me to start speaking because of the overlay, but that's all right. I think that's all right. Looks like we're in a prison, doesn't it?
You're right. It does look like we're in a prison. And now that I think about it, I may
like
have been...
Like a barren prison.
I may have been doing some activities that aren't exactly legal.
Well, I don't know what I did. I feel like I'm not supposed to be here. I don't even think I would do well in prison. This is a mistake. Let's go talk to the guards.
I'm supposed to be here. I'm sure of it. I killed 13 men before I blacked out. I overheard you saying something about shock ear.
Yes, I have lightning ear.
Yep, I've got. I had a grandma that had shock ear for like 12 years.
12 years? That's such a long time.
I told you, Mr. Smellman, it's a real thing. Shock ear.
Spellman.
Mr. Spellman, I'm sorry.
It's not that difficult.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Smellman. Oh, anyways, yeah, my great-great-grandma had shock ear. It ran in my family. I'm just waiting for it. She dove into the deep end of the pool, came up, shock ear.
So you're telling me there's no cure for it?
No.
No, it killed her, actually. She ended up dying from it.
Oh, wow. My aunt Gertrude didn't die from the shock ear, but she was severely handicapped for most of her life.
I definitely have to get out of here.
She was twitching all over the place.
I can't.
And actually, right around the time we thought she got rid of it, we were having haggis, and her head just fucking exploded.
Awesome.
Lightning bolts everywhere.
There's no way I could continue to stay in this prison living the rest of my short life with shock ear.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep about a 4-foot distance from you at all
times.
Let's go
talk to that guard over there.
That sounds horrible. So you said you killed 13 people?
I lost count after about 10, but it seemed to be about... Things started to get a bit hazy.
Excuse me, but... Lady who's telling us what to do, what is your name?
But why am I surrounded by a bunch of men? That's my question. Aren't we like supposed to be separated in prison?
Are we in prison?
I don't know. That's the rumor.
No.
Incarceration or the statistics. It's mostly men in here.
Equal rights. Oh. Equal rights. Equality.
What do you want?
The feminist penitentiary.
Nothing. What's your name?
Persephone.
Persephone. Okay. I will remember that.
Cool.
Persephone.
Are you a miss or a Mrs. Persephone?
Miss.
All right.
So
calm
we
down,
have Persephone.
Knuckles. Maurice.
We have Mr. Smellman. Mr. Spellman.
Spellman.
Mr. Spellman.
You're causing my lightning ear to act up.
What was your name? The Scottish gentleman.
Oh, sorry, I got a little carried away. I'm not even sure if I said my name. It's Knuckles McKenzie.
Okay, Mr. McKenzie.
What's your name?
My name's Maurice.
That's a wonderful name.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, I think we decided we were going to go talk to a guard, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because okay. I don't know...
I can't see him from here, but you look like you got real weak ankles. Am I right in that assumption?
Oh boy, yeah. Yeah, in fourth grade, we ran the relay, and I had to get a doctor's note because my ankles, I was spraining my ankles every day.
What is happening?
Gandamore is walking towards the guards.
I think I'm going to follow suit, even though I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be here. I'm pretty sure the paperwork checks out. You want to jump on my back, little Maurice? You want to jump on my back? The ground seems to change levels abruptly, and I don't want anything to happen to you.
Okay, yeah, just let me know if there's, you know, even gravel. Gravel is terrible.
I'll keep an eye out for you.
Okay, As you're about to walk over to the guard, a large stone embedded in the wall crackles to life and a voice fills the yard.
Howdy, okay. Am I on? Ahem. Welcome, new inmates to the Xanax Penitentiary. My name is Warden Honey, and you are probably wondering why you all are here. Well, fear not. I'm here to help you understand the current circumstances y'all find yourselves in. The Xanax Penitentiary is for those of you who are practicing magic that is unnatural and, quite frankly, an abomination in the eyes of our Lord and Savior, Christopher. Until you repent for the use of such magic and receive my holy blessing, you'll be confined here indefinitely. Now, I don't want you to think I'm going to take your magic away or anything nasty like that, but you'll find that trying to cast magic here may be quite difficult. In fact, if you have any questions about life here in the pen, you may direct them to Wally. He knows all too well what can happen when you try to use your sinful magic here. Now enjoy your time in the yard.
There's, for the first time, go ahead.
There's no sin against casting magic freely. This is a free place, I think. Wherever we live, it's free, it's in the Constitution.
I don't know about that. There are a lot of laws, and I'll tell you, my cousin, he works in constitutional law. These things do get very tricky.
I understand that it's written in the books, Maurice. What I'm saying is, why do we give any government the power to shut down the magic we use? It's our... Christopher died for our rights on...
Well, that is the age-old question, then. I don't know what to say. I guess we're just gonna stay here for as long as we need until they just let us out.
All right. For the first time, you notice. I'm not even gonna make you guys roll for this because I cannot believe we're still in the yard. For the first time, you notice that a section of the building's wall doesn't look quite right, and on closer inspection, you see that there's a humanoid figure embedded in the wall.
You guys,
there's a human doing what?
What's that?
What was the human figure doing?
He's in black and white.
He's embedded in the wall.
Oh, he's embedded in
the
wall.
He's in the wall, you said.
Hey, do you guys see that guy over there?
I do. What happened to him? That looks awful.
Nasty.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Like a fungus.
Yeah, well, I don't want that to happen to me, so I think I'm just going to fall in line. I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm just going to do whatever.
I thought you were going to say fall in love.
Well, I'm not opposed to it.
There's no better place to do it, Maurice. Something about the struggle together really brings you together.
Should we go talk to the guy that's got the fungus wall guy? I'm starting to...
I've got no interest in it.
Is he alive?
I'm gonna go find a weightlifting bench. Start getting jacked. I'm not gonna be nobody's bitch in here.
You actually sound like you're meant to be here.
I've been in places like this before.
She did not make a mistake. At home.
Gandamort starts walking towards the embedded man.
I watch from afar, standing next to Maurice and checking for gravel. And I say, hold my pocket, Maurice.
Okay.
Trust me.
I walk up to the guy in the wall and say, "Hi, guy."
God, they seem to be
hitting it off, don't they?
What?
Those two up there—they seem to be hitting it off. Walking together, they're kind of on the same page.
Oh, yeah, they do. At first, I sensed some real loathing between the two of them, but...
I picked up on that as well.
I'll be honest, I'm not the best at reading people.
Me neither. Beating people, that's one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Not reading, though.
Maybe...
I actually don't think I can read. I've never tried it.
Oh, yeah, it's... we'll work on that.
All right, seems like they're doing something important, though.
I didn't even know what I was saying. Oh, God.
She said hi to the guy.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do this voice instead. Hi. I'm Wally. What questions do you have for me?
Your name's...
He's a part of the wall. It makes sense.
Your name... Your birth name is Wally, or you changed it to that after you got stuck on the wall?
Listen, that's how magic works around here.
Your name just... Am I going to be called Shocky now because my ears shock?
I mean, if you're not careful, man.
Maybe you can call me Shock Gusto from now on.
I'm not going to do
crickets.
That.
Crickets. All right.
Listen, do you have any questions? I'm
calling them shock strap.
I have no response.
So, you were stuck in the wall for doing magic. What kind of magic did you do to get you here?
Listen, so inside there's an orb. It's probably near the Warden's Chapel, and you know, you'll find out that orb, it messes with your magic. So, and that's exactly how I ended up like this. I tried to blast through the walls of the Warden's office to escape, and I ended up as part of the Foundation. In hindsight, I think I should have been going for the orb itself. What else do you want?
Wally, you should face out from the wall when you talk to us.
I was thinking that same thing. Sorry to interrupt. I know I'm still back here, but I noticed that... Was he just like moonwalking back from the wall?
Yeah, I think he turned his head into the stone and spoke into the stone. So I don't know what he said.
Maurice?
Yeah, also, Wally, you're starting to cut out a little bit. Is that something to do with the wall that you're stuck in?
Oh, did it cut out the audio?
Yeah.
Oh, well, why didn't you guys stop me?
As Maurice is holding on to your pocket, he's kind of like, he's about to like fall over.
Careful, Maurice. You're right. I just kind of grasp your shoulder.
Oh, thank
you.
That's
so weird. So, is this better? Is this clear?
Yeah, that's
clear.
It's really nice now.
Huh. Okay. That was weird. So I need to say that whole thing over.
What was that about?
No, just the second half about the orb.
Yeah, you told us that the orb messed with you and all that.
Oh, I mean, yeah. In hindsight, I think I should have just tried to blast the orb, you know, instead of trying to blast through the walls.
Blast the orb. Destroy the orb with magic instead of the walls.
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to find the quickest way out.
Go a bit ahead of yourself.
Anything all else right? You want to know?
How long have you been here?
Too long.
All right.
Does your nose ever get itchy?
Oh, all the time. I have to have one of the guards come and scratch it for me.
Do you ever have shocking sensations in your ears?
You know, I think I had a cousin who had that.
What happened?
All
right, Wally, forget about the shock ear. Tell me exactly how to get to the orb the fastest way possible. I need to get out of here. I have to see a doctor.
Well, you just care about your life. All right, so what you're going to do is you're going to want to go through those doors. I'm getting more and more.
I was going to say, did his voice change a little bit?
I turned into like a mother-in-law.
You're going to want to
go
diner.
Through those doors over there. Like, I don't know what that voice
mother?
Was.
Mom? Ma, is that you?
So, yeah, you're going to want to go through those doors behind those orcs right there. And then, I don't even know what voice he had to begin with.
Just kind of, he was just kind of...
There's going to be an inner chamber, and then, I can't commit to any voice right now, guys, sorry. It's just going to sound like what it sounds like. And then in the center, there's the Warden's Chapel. That's where you're trying to go. It's the only way out. She's got a, I don't know what you call it, a portal or something. It's the only way. Are you fucking kidding
okay,
me?
Okay, say less. I turn and I cast Mage Handies on both the orcs.
Oh, God.
That's a cantrip.
Are we allowed to do that magic now?
That's a cantrip, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I thought we weren't supposed to do that.
So you have mage handies?
I dive in the front of one of them.
I say to everybody, I'm like, I'm going to distract them. You guys get in there.
Yeah, no. Out here on the yard, you can use cantrips. You can try and use your spells.
What spells do I even have?
No, this is a... Oh, wait. You know what? So, mage handies... A spectral floating hand appears in front of a crotch you choose within range. The hand lasts for the duration or until you dismiss it as an action. The hand vanishes if ever more than 30 feet away from you or if you cast the spell again. You can use your action to control the hand, except the only thing you can do is give handies out to your enemies. You can move the hand up to 30 feet each time you use it. The hand can't attack, activate magical items, or jack off more than 10 pounds of meat.
Oh, how big are those orc cocks?
I was out of my mind when I wrote these spells and these cantrips. All right, you're casting that on the guards?
Yes.
Both of them?
Can I?
I think it's just one, right?
Shit. Okay.
It's okay. Cast it on one. That's fine.
All right, I've got one taken care of, but the rest of you will have to take care of the other one. So yeah, I'll cast it on one. It doesn't say I have to roll anything.
Yeah, it's a cantrip, man. You're just gonna go for
it. So a hand just starts jerking him. Jerking the orc.
One of the orc guards is like, it's down. And he starts to put his hands behind his head and doesn't say anything.
He leans up against the wall.
It's up against the wall. Relaxed.
All right.
All right. Wait, do we have another? Did somebody else do something to the other guard already?
Not yet.
I'm losing this accent. All right, I'm going to cast Axe Body Spray on the other one.
Can you tell us about that?
Of course, I'd love to. So I extend my hand toward the creature you can see within range and project a puff of noxious gas from your palm. It smells like every high school boy's locker room. The creature must succeed on a constitution saving throw to take 1d12 of poison damage. Wait, but I don't think it really fucks him up or like makes him
incapacitated?
Yeah, you're like gonna agitate him at best. I mean, go ahead.
I'm gonna do encode I can't say that word. Dirty thoughts. There it is, dirty. Dirty thoughts.
Okay.
I pull a memory, an idea, or a message from my mind, and I transform it into a tangible string of glowing energy called a thought strand, which persists for the duration until you cast the spell again. The thought strand appears in an occupied space within 5 feet of you as a tiny, weightless, semi-solid object that can be held or carried in other... It is otherwise stationary. So I'm gonna... If I cast the spell while concentrating on a target within range... you're able to distract them with a dirty thought, putting them at a disadvantage for all saving throws for the duration of the spell until the target has been attacked 2 times.
All right, sounds good.
Damn, so I've got to get real creative with this, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm going to remember this time that I was in prison, and there was this really, like, it was like this real sexy prison bitch, and he was, like, you would have fooled most men on the outside. And he did a fancy little striptease for us around Christmas. Sorry, Maurice. See yourself out of the conversation for now.
Oh.
Basically, he's in like a little elf outfit. And we didn't have a lot back then, but there's just 2 handballs little in his shirt. And he was just kind of doing this with them. And he had a little bell. And he was just kind of shaking his arse back and forth. So I'm going to just set that in front of him.
Right, so one guard is leaned up against the wall.
While Jingle Bell Rock plays.
And the other guard seems to be having a visceral reaction, and he's shaking his head, almost trying to dispel whatever has overcome him. So I think it's safe to say that you have.
All right,
in fact, distracted both these cards.
Through the door.
We're going to be real successful if we just kill a bunch of time with exposition before each attack.
Let's go through the door, quickly. And,
come on, Maurice.
Gandamort.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Gandamort hurriedly, but looking as like he's running, but he's also like, he looks like he's shaking dice while he runs.
Oh, are you having to do that motion the whole time?
I guess so. It's Mei-Chan.
Do you think there's a cafeteria around here? I could really use an iced tea.
I cast give me that good for Maurice, because I know he needs electrolytes.
That is give me that good.
Is that something you have?
I haven't read it yet.
You should just save that for later.
Yeah, that's a healing spell.
All right.
Come on, Maurice. There must be a cafeteria inside. Let's go.
Oh,
we
boy.
We're going to the orb.
Yeah, inside.
Okay. Yeah, but if there's a cafeteria, we need to stop as well.
We'll do a pit stop for you.
Persephone. Thank you. Can I talk to you for a moment over here for a second? Persephone,
please. Sure.
I was trying to coax him inside. I'm going to need you to be on my side for this one.
Why? What are you coaxing him for?
Because he wanted iced tea, and we need to go inside. So I was trying to get him. Okay. And then you're like, "Well, aren't we going to the orb?" And I'm like, "Yes, we are going there, but I want to get him inside." So I was trying to lie.
Cool.
About the
let's go.
Oh, so wait, there's really not a cafeteria?
No, that probably is. That's probably not a full lie.
Well, full I mean, I just
Marie okay. Just pokes his head between them. I can hear.
I can hear you talking about me.
Let's go find a snack.
Gandamort goes in.
All right, I'm gonna be looking for a snack in cell block 6. If you know what I'm saying.
Oh my goodness. Okay. As you enter into the inner chamber, you can hear hurried footsteps and several voices.
Okay.
Oh. But that's it.
I'd like to do like a perception of the whole area. What does the inner chamber look like? Do I need a roll for that?
Yeah, roll perception for me. I'll give you a perception.
Whopping 2.
It's a dark.
Oh, my eyes don't adjust well. I don't.
I need my glasses.
Persephone, you have a good perception. Why don't you take a look?
Sure. 11?
14?
Plus
4, 15. 15? Okay, so in this chamber, it's kind of like a rounded hallway. So you walk in and there's hallways going to the right and the left. You can tell that those voices and footsteps are coming from the right. It's pretty dark and dirty and kind of dingy and damp. That was a lot of D's. The 4 D's of this chamber.
What do you see, Persephone?
I see a lot of D's.
I also see a lot of D's. And I stopped doing the dice shaking motion because we're inside now. And I forgot. And I was just standing there while she was looking around like this. I got used to it, you know.
No.
There's a very disappointed guard outside.
He was almost there.
Does anyone have like a torch or something? Like maybe we
can I use previous knowledge of other prisons to figure this place out?
Yes.
Alright. Let's see what my knowledge is. I don't think it's very good, but let's see.
Did Wally say which way the orb was when we go inside?
It was in the inner circle.
Alright, my wisdom's pretty good, but my intelligence is average.
Do you want to make like a... What would that be, Chris? Like Arcana?
What's he
like
checking history? For?
History check, probably.
Okay, there you go.
My history's nothing. That's weird. I guess I forgot about all the other prisons.
Maurice, actually...
Well, that's the thing about prisons, right? They're not really all the same.
Maurice has a +4 to intimidation. So don't make him angry.
We really didn't read these before. We just went for it, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's fucking great. Where's my intimidation? Oh, +4 as well. We'd make a good team there, Maurice.
So should we go towards the crowd of voices that we hear?
I
don't think so. I'm not sure where, like...
Amanda, when I tell you that I'm so thankful that you're here, because...
Right. Maybe we will. Voice of reason.
Yeah. I don't care. I just want to find the orb. Let's go. To the right, then?
To the right. Or that's the left, huh? Yeah, to the right.
That famous song by...
Everything
Fiance. To the right.
Oh, she was so almost married like 12 times.
Yeah. But you know what they say? If you like it, then you should have put the ring of power on it.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay, let's go now.
Marie, stick close.
All right, you come upon a group.
Oh, don't we though?
Yes. Clad in white robes. They, much like the building, look unnaturally clean. Despite the dank and dirty appearance of the inner chamber, their white robes are pristine. And you notice that they're crowded around something, and a faint purple glow is emanating from within their group. What do we do?
That seems like it might be an orb.
I don't think we're going to be able to jerk our way out of this one. That's what the sentence that was trying to leave my mouth was. I could hit him with some axe body spray. What the fuck noise just came
Are
out of
you
my
okay?
Head. No, I think I'm gonna like.
Maurice is gonna crop dust these people.
You
yeah, no, I could what? I could do thunder cheeks if we're somebody, back enough.
Somebody punch me in the throat real quick. All right, I'm gonna line up for it.
I reach over and I punch him in the throat.
Oh my throat!
Why?
Yes.
Right, it sounds better.
Yeah.
That's Australian.
There's a personality change?
Did I punch you into a different...
No, you just kind of fucked up my throat a little bit, and now it's just what happens in this world. Is if you get, it's not like horse or anything. It actually just changes who you are.
Throat punch.
Okay.
Accent change.
Please don't punch me. I like who I am right now.
All right, Thunder Cheeks. Let's do this. All right.
Hey, that one for me, what is it?
You clap your booty cheeks together to create a burst of thunderous sound, which can be heard 100 feet away. Each creature other than you within 5 feet of you must make a constitution saving throw.
A
failed save, the creature takes 1d6 thunder damage.
All right, well, this group... Well, actually, I probably should do it for everyone. Oh, dear. They're rolling very well. Oh, not that person. Okay, so all... half of the group saved and half of the group didn't. So will you roll for damage for those other two?
3.
Does that mean that we also have to do that?
But maybe you guys aren't 5 feet or you're away.
Are we just assuming you like stepped toward them? Like, yeah. Away from your friends? Okay.
Took a step and took one for the team.
All right.
She jumped in their cheeks first.
Backed that ass up right into that group. As you position your cheeks toward this group of white-robed individuals, two of them end up being pushed backwards, alerting the other two basically to your presence. I guess roll for initiative at this point.
I got 12.
I got 16.
11.
Stephanie got 11.
18. All right, I'm going to cast Gorilla Grip. All right, so Gorilla Grip is as you grab a creature within range, lightning springs from my hand to deliver a shock to a creature. Hey, maybe I could try this on you, shock strip.
I'm already being shocked. I don't need...
I know, but maybe like two wrongs make a right in that situation.
I actually haven't been shocked since I did magic candies or whatever.
Maybe that's... that's not the cure because my great-grandma used to give those out at... dinner. I should have stopped you because that's about the time her head exploded. I know.
I'll keep that in mind.
Make a melee spell attack against the target. You have an advantage on the attack roll if the target is wearing armor made of metal. On a hit, the target takes 1d8 lightning damage and can't take reactions until the start of its next turn.
Alright,
so I'm just going to just kind of grab a guy.
Roll the hit.
Fucking beautiful. 16.
Alright, you clamp your... Both hands or one?
It just says grab a creature. It,
where do you grab them?
In honor of Shockstrap, I think I'm going to grab him by the dick and balls.
Dear, okay. You grab this robe-clad person by where
I don't even know what they are. I should have asked.
By what? Where you assume their dick and balls would be.
Yeah.
And you do feel what seems to be a dick and balls. And this person takes...
Come on. Fucking 6, come on.
This person takes a hefty grip of lightning right to the crotch and drops to their knees. Christopher, you're up next.
And I say, now that's what I call a fucking shock strip.
I like what you've done there. I think I will take a note from that attack. And I cast Fire Crotch. I reach into my pants... And I pluck a single red pubic hair. And I'm not even a redhead, which is weird. I blow it at a target. I just right out of my fingers at one of these guys in white. And I need to make a ranged attack. How do I know what my plus is?
I will let you make up your plus because I genuinely don't know. I did this all so hurriedly.
Make up my plus is plus 20.
No.
Ah, God, my ears. Sorry, I got shocked. In my hit dice box, it says 4.
Okay, 4 then.
Okay, I rolled
fuck it.
13.
All right, your red pubic hair is carried along the breeze and drifts right into the eye of one of the... Oh, of the robed person that is carrying the orb, and they Tay.
10. All right, so 10.
That pubic hair drifts directly into their eye, suddenly igniting their eyelashes, which in turn lights their robe on fire. This person carrying the orb trips, and the orb goes sailing through the air. All four hooded figures take a collective breath, and one of them dives to save it before it comes crashing onto the ground. This person puts their hands in like the sign of like a prayer and casts, I think it's called light. And they are going to target Christopher, I think, who went first, yeah?
No, Gavin went first.
Oh, just kidding. They're going to target Gavin.
This is perfect because I want to do dodge save.
They're going to roll a one. So they completely missed, and the light actually blinds them in their own eyes, and their eyes begin to water.
I told you Christopher died for our freedoms. Not for you.
Austin, it's your turn.
Okay, so Maurice is going to cast Oh Burn, and is going to cast it at the person who's holding the sphere. So that target must make a dexterity saving throw or take 1d8 radiant damage.
We rolled an 18.
Okay, then it ties. So.
Okay, so then you take a 1d8 2.
You trip them up, but they solidly hold on to that orb. The next two, I'm going to roll for the next two. They're going to go after Christopher. Christopher, does a 15 hit?
Yes.
Okay, 15 and a 20.
The 20 doesn't hit, just the 15.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you're about to take 10 damage and 7 damage, so 17 total.
That's a lot.
These hooded figures really do not want you fucking with their orb.
All right. I want to use the control squirrel. I'm going to use that to grab the orb and bring it to me.
Damn, that's a 5-foot tall squirrel.
Up to 5 feet.
That's a huge squirrel.
Yeah, and it retrieves items. So I'm going to get the item.
Damn, that's such a good use of that squirrel. All right, will you roll? What would that be? Roll dexterity? What is that? What would the squirrel have to roll for that?
It says you can send the squirrel after a target dealing up to 1d6 nut damage to a single enemy. You can have the squirrel retrieve up to 2 items for you. The squirrel's able to be frightened on a failed constitution saving throw.
I would say just roll for roll constitution just to make sure he doesn't get frightened.
Yeah, d20. She rolled a nat 20 plus 1.
Oh, okay. Ooh. That squirrel bounds straight.
Fucking laser focus.
Yeah. It thinks that orb is an acorn. I'm assuming that's what squirrels like. And it bounds for it. The hooded figure, seeing a 5-foot squirrel suddenly making a beeline for it, totally loses their grip. That squirrel tucks that little orb right in his cheek and starts coming right on back to you. Jesus, that was such a good use of that squirrel. I forgot I gave you that. Okay, now it is back to Gavin.
I'm going to use Cool Whip.
It says a tub of Cool Whip.
Some of them just have the name because I didn't have a lot of time.
So on paper, that seems like I would just pull out like a creamy dessert, but no. What I'm actually going to do is... I'm going to create a long vine-like whip covered in thorns, and I'm going to lash out at my command toward a creature in range. I'm going to make a melee attack against the target, but I'm just going to do it against the guy whose nuts I've got. And I'm going to try to, what do you guys think? Where should I whip him? Should I whip him in the nip?
Yes, I think you should probably try to whip the tip of the nip.
So like, yeah,
whip his nipples.
So I'm gonna like I've got him by the balls, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I pull out this viney cool whip, and I'm like looking at everybody. I'm like, where should I whip him? Like kind of like a WWE character, and I'm like doing this move. Right?
Whip his nipples.
Whip the nip. You have to whip the nip.
I had nipple in the crowd, and I look at him, and what happens next?
I crush a beer.
So if the creature is large or smaller, you pull the creature up to 10 feet closer to me. I don't think I can get closer to this guy.
He's inside you now.
Oh, wait. Oh, but he's going to be automatically covered in a pillowy white substance once it's all said and done. So that's the part where it is actually a creamy dessert, so little misdirection there. Look, it's like misdirection and then like, oh, no, it's exactly what you thought. Yeah, it's a fucking 19 anyway. I'm going to roll a d6 of damage. Come on, big money, big money. No whammies, it's a 1. But he is still covered in a pillowy white substance, so.
All right, well, he is looking worse for wear. He's not doing so good. At this point, like, yeah, you guys have you
just
like
break
have
the orb. Just break it. You should just shatter it.
Okay, Persephone, hold that orb up.
Are you sure you want to shatter it though? Because maybe it like magnifies the spells.
I think that if we shatter it, we'll be able to use our magic more readily.
All right, Ollie, we'll hold the orb.
I grab the orb and I fucking touchdown slam it on the ground.
Oh, so, careful! Oh, gosh.
No, I don't want to be careful. That's the opposite of what I want to do.
Oh, but I don't want to get glass in my legs.
My legs.
I slam it on the ground anyways.
All right. As you slam it on the ground, it begins to crack and white light starts pouring out of it. And the group of white-clad subordinates goes quiet and still. And their eyes are trained on the orb. And the groups just start scattering in panic, darting in different directions, either to take cover or to get as far away from that broken orb as possible. As you peel your eyes away from the fleeing enemies, you suddenly feel an overwhelming influx of magic hit you. You can tell that you can access your full range of magic now, but something still feels off.
I just feel dirty. This just feels wrong.
I feel proper and powerful.
Proper. Interesting.
Yes, proper and powerful.
Not proper powerful.
No.
Look, maybe we should go find the warden.
Let's do that.
Or maybe we should go talk to Wally and see if he's still part of the wall.
Oh, that's a great idea, Persephone.
That is a great idea. Damn it. Now I'm doing this voice.
How many personalities do you have? Are you one of those schizophrenics?
No, this is my actual true form. Once I got my magic back.
Oh, this is your most powerful form.
Of course.
I could tell. It definitely sounds the most powerful.
I reach down and I grab the cracked orb and pick it up and walk towards that door that we came in.
Oh, God, you're taking it with us?
Look, maybe we should just put it in a bag or something. Does anybody have a grocery bag?
I don't want them to repair it.
No, but look, you might...
Should you smash it more then?
You might get a cut on your hand.
Maybe we can use it to get Wally off the wall.
I don't know. What if he wants to be part of the wall? I don't think I'm rethinking this whole thing now.
I'm still walking towards the door.
You guys are going back out.
I thought we were going to talk to Wally. Is that not the plan?
I don't listen to me. I'm not in your party at all.
Are we not? Are we going to talk to Wally or what are we doing?
Was there something else we were missing?
We could get out of here. Could leave.
Okay. Go ahead. Okay, so you guys walk back out.
Yeah, there's actually probably a strong chance that Persephone's right again. So
it's so bright outside, though. Does anybody have some sunblock?
Unblock. Not okay.
There's some dirt on the ground. You can rub it on you.
I push the door open. I push the door open, immediately turn and hit the nearest ogre in the head with the orb.
Oh. Wow, goddamn. Which one? The one leaned up against the door or the other one that's having dirty thoughts?
The one who I've finished jerking off and he's probably paying attention.
Oh yeah, I didn't cast that spell again, so there's still a little like elf thing just grinding up on him.
Jesus. Alright, so that orc completely, I'll say it, that would be disadvantage because you just come out from behind him. Usually people don't come back out. And yeah, what would that be? Melee?
Yeah.
Alright, roll.
Oh, we gotta fight these guys?
Well, we wanted to go back outside. 7. But he's a disadvantage? Or
yeah,
do I get advantage? Because he's not like rolling to save, right? It's just against his...
Yeah, I would say roll twice.
That one is a 15.
Okay, yeah, you hit him for whatever damage. You hit that orc in the back of the head, and he grunts and goes...
He falls over.
Yeah, okay, that's what he says.
Fuck.
I guess roll initiative now, because now you're like in battle with these orcs.
I got a 5.
I got an 18.
17.
15.
All right, Gavin, you're up first.
So I'm going to cast Ice Dildo. I create a dildo of ice. Go fucking figure. And I make a ranged spell attack, hurling the ice dildo against a target. On a hit, the target takes 1d10 penetrating damage. Hit or miss, the dildo then explodes. The target and each creature within 5 feet of the point where the ice dildo exploded must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or take 2d6 cold damage. This thing is fucking OP. I'm gonna hurl it at the man who got smacked by an orb. Oh, that's not good. A 2.
Oh, that will not do. The ice dildo sails right past him and into the yard.
Where does it land? Because it's gonna explode now.
I'll say it lands about 5 feet away.
Oh, that's too far. So it just kind of hits the ground and explodes, and there's just an icy patch there. So careful there, Maurice.
Okay, thank you.
Amanda, it's your turn. No, Chris, it's your turn. Sorry.
Okay, I'm going to cast Magic Mistletoe. You create 3 glowing bundles of Magic Mistletoe. Each toe hits a creature of your choice that you can see within range, forcing them to lock lips with the nearest creature, friend or foe. A toe deals 1d4+1 force damage to its target. The nearest creature must make a charisma saving throw or be charmed for the duration of their turn. The toes all strike simultaneously, and you can direct them to hit one creature or several. So since there's 3, I'm going to do 1 to the guy that I hit with the orb, and 2 okay. to the guy that hasn't been hit yet. I rolled a 19+4... 23.
That was the first one?
Yeah. The second one is an 18, 14+4. And the third one is a 12+4, 16. That's a 4, 5, and a 5. So 4 hits the first guy, and then 2 5s hit the second guy.
3 bundles of mistletoe appear above the orcs' heads, and really quick, Christopher, how close are you to them? Because you just bashed one in the head with the orb. Are you in danger of getting your lips locked?
I guess I would be.
Oh, this doesn't seem good at all.
Christopher, pick a 1 or a 2 for me.
2.
At first, both orcs, compelled by your magic, slam their faces together and they're like totally taken out by surprise. But as the other 2 missiles hit, the second orc rips himself away from the first and locks eyes with you.
Oh no.
And you're now in danger and he's coming closer. I'll give you a chance to, you know, make a saving throw, I guess, like acrobatics or something. Okay. To get away.
15.
Okay, you got really lucky. I rolled a 2.
Okay.
Okay, so you narrowly dodge out of the way of the incoming lips of the second orc.
Both of them need to make a charisma saving throw.
Oh, to be charmed. 19 for one, 2 for the other.
2 doesn't beat it, 19 does.
Okay, so the one that tried to lock lips with you is now charmed. All right, Amanda, now it's your turn.
Okay, so there was only 2 orcs, right? So now we can just keep on walking to the wall?
They're not dead yet.
They're not dead yet.
Oh. I tell Persephone, I say, this one by me that tried to kiss me is my friend for the moment. Don't hurt him.
I guess I'll use my spaghetti hands on him. I'm gonna hold my hands with my thumbs touching the fingers, spread a thin strand of scorching hot spaghetti that shoots forth from my fingertips. And each creature in a 15-foot cone must take a dexterity saving throw. Yes, but then there's also some fire too. The spaghetti ignites any flammable objects in the area that aren't being worn or carried.
8.
That doesn't beat her dexterity.
All right, so this, which orc did you aim at? The one that's the locking one, lips with Christopher? We've tried to lock lips with Christopher. The other one.
The one that's not hypnotized. Or
okay, gotcha.
9.
That same orc that you just tried to attack is now going to try and grapple you. He's going to cast Hold Farmer.
8.
Eight.
Did not beat it. So a A ghostly apparition in the shape of a farmer appears in front of you and bear hugs you, and you've now been, you're now entangled with the farmer until you can roll dexterity just a little bit harder.
Okay, so this orc is now, he's like trying to grapple Mr. Smellman.
He grappled Amanda. Yeah.
Persephone.
Oh, I can do O'Byrne again, because it's on a target. So he needs to do a dexterity saving throw.
15?
Yeah, no, it does. That doesn't pass.
Oh, okay.
So then I need to do 1d4.
That orc drops to his knees, and he doesn't seem like he's going to be doing much more fight.
Yeah, take that. You see, I can fight. I knew it. I knew that I could fight.
I knew that you could do it.
Yeah, I took out one of the biggest gods here, and so now all of you are my bitches.
Okay, the other orc is the one that's charmed. Do you want to try and compel him to do anything?
Yeah, I want you to go over to where Wally tried to break through the wall, and I want you to start pounding the wall down with all of your might.
All right, here I go. That's what Decepticon sounds like. I don't know if that was the one that grunted or not. And that orc is just going to start pounding against the wall, but he's certainly not strong enough to break through it. So he's really just bashing and bloodying his fists against the wall.
It's fine.
But basically, I mean, you're out of this fight now. That one orc is not going to mess with you, and he's too busy punching the wall.
All right, team, what now?
Well, I think we should go find the warden.
Wasn't she just like a rock in the ground?
She's just a rock?
That's the PA system.
Oh. Persephone, well, you understand how voice projection works, right?
I could change my appearance to be the warden, and then maybe we could all just like skedaddle out of here. But we need to find find the exit.
Okay.
You don't know what she looks like.
So in other words, we came out here so we could go back in there.
Let's find the tunnel.
We killed these orcs for no reason.
I'll let you guys try and find the tunnel.
How would you, turning into the warden, help any of us get out?
Well, the warden
could just take us out as a friend. Like, oh, these are my friends.
Or yeah, maybe we pass the test.
Yeah, we've been pardoned.
Exactly. And maybe then I could just, you know, hey, everyone, these four fine people are just they're good to go, so don't worry about them.
You sound just like her.
Oh, I think I could change my voice. Hold on. I'm a southern woman.
I hear no difference.
No, you gotta.
She's here right now.
No, you gotta listen. Hold on.
You just have to believe.
You just close your eyes. It's because you're looking at me, and all you see is Maurice. So just close your eyes and then listen.
Okay, I'm closing my
Hello.
Eyes.
Hello, honey. I'm from the south. And okay, I think you're right. This is a terrible idea.
No, I got real excited. I thought the warden was here.
Yeah, I thought you were being pardoned. I'm, yeah.
Well,
okay.
Let's try to find her first.
Once again, the PA stone crackles to life.
Well, my stars, y'all seem to be stirring up quite a bit of trouble for being new. Listen, come have a chat with me in my office. I'm sure we can come to some sort of understanding.
How do we get there?
I'm right in the center of the penitentiary.
Sorry, I got shocked in the ears. What was that?
He has the electric ear. Don't mind him.
I didn't know that it was a two-way speaker system. That's pretty nice.
The big giant stones of our speech.
Jesus, would you like to look for that tunnel now? I don't know how else to... Normally, PA systems aren't two-way.
Does the tunnel lead to the center, or do we have to...
It does now.
Okay.
I made a perception check, but it was awful. Maybe someone else can do it. Perception check?
I don't know. I don't really have my glasses, but I'll try. I got a 10.
14.
That was a 19.
Four. Okay.
I thought that was a 10, but it was a 19.
Got an 18.
All right, I will count that as good. So Persephone and Maurice notice that there is, behind a poster of a nudie girl that you're just now noticing for the first time, is a hole in the wall.
On the outside of the prison?
Yes. out on the yard.
In the yard.
It's over in the weight area so that they have something to look at while they work out.
In a Christian prison, apparently. Or religious. It's not crazy.
Hey. Yeah, it's Christian. Well, you have to think, out on the yard, you know, they're going to do what they want. It's inside the prison that it's really, really
okay.
You find behind this nudie girl poster, you find a hole in the wall, and you realize while you sense it goes directly to the warden's chapel, you are going to have to crawl through probably 100 yards of shit. To get there.
Now, why?
Oh, this is terrible. Oh, I don't know if I could do this. My gag reflex might act up.
I'm just wondering why they designed this building to have sewage in the walls. Just free flowing through the walls.
That's a great question.
I jump in. Kaploosh.
It's because it acts like a really good insulator, is what it does. It's just the prison saving money on...
very efficient.
So we can save on electricity.
Okay. Maurice goes in.
No. Actually, I vote he goes last because I don't want to have to crawl through shit and his vomit.
he's already in there. I'm already in here and I don't feel like coming back out. I'm already here.
Hey guys, wouldn't it be great if we just took the other way?
There's it's another just way.
Hold on. So there's you can no other way to get to the warden's office.
You could have gone down the hall to the left.
This is her. This was office. Her design. She designed it this way. She has to swim through shit to get to her office every day.
I don't think committed I want to fucking is. Go toe to toe with somebody who acts like that. Who their day to day is just like, all right, gonna take a fucking shit slip and slide.
Maurice and I are halfway to the warden's office.
Maybe we can wait here until they talk to her, and we can find out what she has to say.
Hold on, do we have? Can you guys still hear me?
We get so far away that it says you are too far from your companions, and then you're teleported to us into the shit.
Nice. Oh god!
Can I at least get a running stat and then just slide?
All right. You guys make your way through the 100 yards of shit and come out absolutely filthy on the other side. As you navigate the hallways, you come upon a large, ornate door with the words Chapel de la Warden written across the top.
Before we go in, how about a spritz of Axe? It'll clean us right up.
All right. I think it might make us smell worse, but fucking let's do it. I guess Axe body spray. Just kind of like a general cloud. So now we just smell like literally like a boys' locker room, like shit and chemicals.
Oh, yes, me.
Nice. All right. Are you still just standing outside the door?
I'll open the door.
I'll knock.
Oh, okay. she's knocking as I'm opening the door.
Wait, so you're not stepping inside, you're just like looking?
Kind of like opening the door and like dum dum.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, hello. Like a dad who doesn't want to quite like badge into his son's room, he's just like dum dum. Hey champ.
Sounds good. Champ. Alright, so as you peek inside, you notice the warden is seated at a desk several steps above you, and behind her is a glowing gateway. The walls are decorated with beautiful stained glass mosaics, and in the center of the room is a fountain churning waters that look to be imbued with magical properties. The warden stands up and walks around her desk to greet you. Well, howdy do, my little rebels. My, you have managed to make my life a little extra difficult today. All I want to do is make the world a better and brighter place, and y'all have decided that you wish to continue down the path of magical sin. Unfortunately, there's only one thing to do with sinners like you, and I'd like for you to all roll initiative.
Before we get into this, I would like to just apologize at our disgusting state of appearance. You see, we actually got in and then came back out and then took the harder way to get here, so...
Oh, so y'all found my shit door. That's
yeah, we had
that's
a clear
the way
we,
I come in we had every
we had
day.
A, we had the clearest of paths to your door, but we decided to go back out, get in another fight, and then go through the shit door.
Yeah,
and I'd like to take this. I'm doing an Irish accent again. Hold on. Yar, and I'd like to take this opportunity. This is Knuckles McKenzie speaking for any listeners. I'm a pirate now. To not apologize, because I think it's really weird that you would even have such a tone.
Like I said, I'm just trying to make the world a better and brighter place, and I think a shit door really builds character.
And that's why I think we don't see eye to eye.
Gandamort rolled a 10 for initiative, and okay. Persephone rolled a 3.
What is a Gandamort?
I rolled a 9.
I'm Gandamort.
I thought you were Smellman.
Gandamort Spellman. But right now I'm a Smellman.
Mr. Smellman, you know, I forgot my question. Never mind.
You're not going to be able to. I have ruined this podcast.
No continuity whatsoever.
This is a fun, funny episode.
Fun, funny, fun.
Yeah. Oh, what yeah. Else Warden, Warden, do you have anything for Shock Ear?
Okay. Well, I could pray for you.
Oh, no, never mind. No, we're okay.
Gavin, what did you roll initiative-wise?
9.
All right. The warden lifts her hands and begins to draw runes in the air. And from where you're standing, you can see that she's spelling out live, laugh, love.
Oh, no.
And a beautiful white light cascades down around her, and you can tell that she's a lot stronger and a lot beefier than she was 2 seconds ago. And Chris, you're up.
All right, I'm going to hit her with lightning crotch. A stroke of lightning forming a line of 100 feet long and 5 feet wide blasts out from your crotch in a direction you choose. Each creature in that line must make a dexterity saving throw. A creature takes 8d6 lightning damage on a failed save, or you take half as much damage on a successful one. The lightning ignites flammable objects in the area that aren't being worn or carried.
15?
Oh, just barely. So you take half of whatever this will be. 6, 5, 4, 3. What? This is weird now. 4 again, 5 again, and 4 again. 31.
You take note that the warden is wearing a beautiful white power suit, and with your attacks, you smudge and rip her power suit. She is not pleased.
Just a side note, did you notice that I rolled 6, 5, 4, 3, 4, 5?
No.
In that order?
Hey, can you explain spunk spray? I don't really understand it. A concerning amount of white liquid springs from your hand. Roll 6d10. The total is how many hit points of creatures this spell can affect. Like, so I'm rolling to see like how many people it'll blind.
At this point, you're just aiming it at her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about that second part. Just roll the 4 to hit and the damage.
That's a total of 26.
Okay.
And so basically Maurice goes like this. He's like, fuck you. And he like goes like this, and like a bunch of white liquid comes out of his hand and blinds her, and she takes 26 damage. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So she's all blinded right. until my next turn.
Wow.
Or until someone gives her a towel.
What was the name of that spell?
It was called Spunk Spray.
Okay, I'm surprised it wasn't called Money Shot.
Damn, that's a good title. Well, it was Poison Spray, so I was trying to stay to the theme. The warden, after getting this suspicious white goopy substance in her eye, goes, Oh, my word. I'm blind. And begins to stumble around.
And you're covered in sin.
There's sin in my eye. In my beautiful, beautiful, holy eyes.
You know, from this distance, I can see your computer. You're not very holy, okay?
Gavin, it's your turn.
I'm going to cast Sex Puppet, and my gesture forces one humanoid I can see within range to make a constitution saving throw. On a failed save, the target must move up to its speed in a direction I choose and is now my proverbial sex puppet. In addition, I can cause the target to drop whatever it's holding. However, the spell has no effect on humanoid that is immune to being charmed.
I'll say right now, she can be, because she's really worse for wear.
Then I'm gonna go ahead and cast that. She has to make a constitution saving throw against what? I don't know, but...
It would be 14.
Oh yeah, that's not gonna do it. My charisma is a 22.
All right, so she is now blinded and your proverbial sex puppet at the moment.
This is gonna get really rated R on my next turn.
I know, I'm a little worried. I probably shouldn't have given you that spell, I'm realizing.
It's okay, I'm not gonna do anything outside of like my spells, but it is still gonna get real fucking weird with an ice dildo here in a little bit.
Oh no.
Well, I don't really know what to do, so I'm gonna cast the Friends with Benefits spell on her.
We're making this warden so horned up right now.
And I'm not really sure what we're doing. Are we trying to kill her to get to like the stuff that's behind her, or like can we like charm her and ask her to step aside and then get to the stuff and like go through whatever these portals are or whatever it is that's behind her?
I think it's really up to you guys. You guys kind of have fucked her up.
I think we should make her bite her desk and then we can kick the back of her head.
Oh my god!
You want to desk stomp her? Oh my god! Prison has changed you, Maurice.
You know, I'm remembering why I'm in here.
I'm actually supposed to be here.
Ah, yeah. Ear shock.
Maurice, I'm not. I have no idea what fucking accent I'm doing anymore. I'm just doing me now.
I'm just me now.
Maurice, I don't know if I've let you know this or not, or if you have already, but you can definitely let go of my pocket whenever you're ready, if you haven't done it.
What would you like to do with your Friends with Benefit? Well, first you're casting, what is the casting on it? Does she have to try and save anything? Can she, while being charmed?
Hey, Warden, do you know what's good for shoulder pain? If you lick my butthole.
Happening.
I cannot believe my ears.
Okay, so I guess I'll do the volcanic erection. Choose a point that you can see on the ground within range. A 10-foot phallic volcano sprouts from the spot centered on that point, and a fountain of hot churned earth and stone erupts from within. Each creature within 10 feet or that area must make a dexterity saving throw. Creature takes a 3d12 bludgeoning damaged on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one.
I'm gonna roll twice and just take the lower one for her trying to save while blinded and charmed. She rolled a 19 and a 20, so 19. Does that save?
Yeah.
All right, because she's covered in a white, sticky, gooey substance, she slides right away from that volcano, slides right down the side of it.
She still has to take half of 3d12.
Okay, and she bashes her head all the way down the volcano.
7, 8, 9. What is wrong with this dice?
No, I'm starting to get impressed by it.
24. Okay, yeah. So 12. Okay, 12, yeah. I'm with you. I was not understanding that even a little bit. Okay. She's still pretty with it. It's back to her now. I am going to have her cast Holy Sparkling Water. Yeah, the fountain behind her erupts in two almost like tendrils of water swipe across the room at you guys. I need you to try and make a dexterity save.
17 plus 3.
11.
I got 19 plus 2. I got 21.
Oh, that was Persephone. She got 11. I got 12 on mine.
Okay, neither of you. So hold on, I have to add this up.
Wait, for Gandamore, I'm going to use Tides of Chaos to take advantage on a saving throw. 15.
Damn, Ty goes the runner, huh? So I guess Persephone is the only one that takes 20 damage then.
20 damage?
Oh my gosh. You might want to use Tides of Chaos and reroll.
Fine.
Oh, 20. She rolled a nat 20.
Oh, okay. She does a flip and does a superhero landing over the tendril of water. She's fine.
Hold on. Let me get in my backpack. Let me reach into my satchel.
She's going to take a bonus action and cast Burn and Hail. And above you, large softball size, I don't know what's comparable to a softball in this world, but softball size pieces of hail form above you, and once again you need to make a dexterity saving roll.
7.
I rolled a 15 and she got 17.
Cool. Another 20.
Everyone except for Gavin takes 15 damage.
Okay,
gosh, are you serious?
So she's, he goes 27 minus 15. She's at 12. I'm dead.
I'm also at 12.
I'm at negative 5.
Well, it's back to you, Christopher. Does anyone have anything to help him? I don't even know what I can do.
Good.
Give me. I'm on the ground as I'm dying. I go, oh, give me the good.
I cast, give me that good. And simultaneously, I find the courage to regain my original voice. And I cast, give me that good, and as I call out my words of restoration, I will choose words and then say them out loud. Give me a second to figure those out. And then 6 creatures of my choice that I can see, that's all of you guys, regain hit points equal to 1d4 plus my spellcasting ability modifier. Alright, so I'm going to say... this weird, like, juxtaposition... because I'm from Scottsdale, and I remember a friend of mine from Iredale that used to say this, and he said, hearts, stars, and horseshoes, clovers, and blue moons, pots of gold, the rainbows, and the red balloons. And then what we commonly refer to as good, shoots from my fingertips and a little bit out of my willy, because flying at you guys, and I restore your health plus 3, so 6 total.
Oh, yes. I come back with 1 health.
Thanks, Lucky Charms.
Chris, it's your turn.
Let me give her.
And then Austin after that. And then Gavin after that.
Okay. Gandamort Spellman staggers to his feet, bloody and worse for wear, bleeding out of every orifice, every single one, and casts Lightning Crotch. As a Hail Mary does... 11 hit?
No, it does not.
Okay. I will take that advantage on this attack roll before I die. Oh boy. Okay. Well, that's 14. Does that hit?
No.
Okay, well she's gonna take half of my 5, 4, 2, 6, 3, 6, 2, 2.
Woo! Austin, it's your turn.
Okay, he is casting Right to Bear Arms, Maurice. Maurice invokes the power of Yogi Bear, the Dark Hunger. And tendrils of dark energy erupt from him, from his ankles. And they are going towards, what's her name? The Warden.
The Warden.
They're going towards the Warden. She has to make a strength saving throw. On a failed save, the target takes 2d6 necrotic damage and can't take reactions until its next turn.
Oh, she's fucked. Okay. Well, she rolled a 13, which I doubt is high enough.
Okay, so yeah, that doesn't pass. And now I have to roll 2d6. Okay, well, I got a 4 for damage.
All right, so I've regained my accent, and I'm going to use...
Like, not even describing what's happening to her, I'm just like, God, just kill her, come on!
Well, she is...
Strong.
She's still a little bit of my sex puppet right now. Or no, is that ship sailed?
I think that ship is sailed.
She can't take any reactions?
I'm gonna do Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. I fill the air with spinning meatballs in a cube 5 feet on each side, centering on a point of my choosing. A creature takes 4d4 slashing damage when it enters the spell's area for the first time on a turn, or starts its turn there.
She can't do shit right now. She's like totally incapacitated. So she's just a body lying there, and you're just going to just pelt her with meatballs right now.
Okay, no, if she's hurt, then I'm going to do Ice Dildo, because I'm never going to get another chance.
Oh, God.
I'm doing Ice Dildo, oh. And that's 1d10 penetrating damage, and then it explodes for 2d6. 9.
Okay. I'm going to say that hits because she's incapacitated, like she couldn't if she wanted to.
Right. And then I'm going to do 2d6 on the explosion.
Wait, is she just unconscious and we're pelting her unconscious body?
Yeah, pretty much.
If you live by prison rules, you're going to die by prison rules. That's a 5 and a 3.
I do have a blanket, and we could wrap her up in the blanket and then beat her with baseball bats.
You're gonna put soap in your socks and just beat the shit out of her?
Yeah, I have a couple daggers too, and so we could try to use those.
You get those from?
They're in my
shank.
Equipment.
Prison
shank. Oh fuck, I forgot to. You should have nothing. Yeah,
I've got daggers and a quarterstaff.
I also have a quarterstaff.
I just love Maurice going through his backpack, just like naming the stuff he has.
And if anybody has any rope, we could maybe tie the daggers to the ends of the staves. I have a bazooka. I didn't know if this was gonna be.
I completely understand now why Maurice is both in here and has high intimidation.
Okay, Gavin, the woman that is unconscious on the ground was about to be hailed with meatballs, but then instead an ice dildo basically lifts her limp body off the ground with the force at which you threw it at her, and her body, like alligator, rolls across the room into the dick volcano.
I turned her into a real bottle rocket.
Knuckles, you really distracted her with those meatballs and hit her with a 1-2 uppercut secretly.
The old bait and switch.
I'm thinking that maybe at this point, maybe we should just step through the portal. I don't know.
What if we just get out of here?
What if we just get the hell out of here?
Persephone, do you want one last shot?
No, I'm good to go. I think she's had enough.
You're like, I'm actually already over here by this portal.
Maurice is going to steal something that she really likes. What's there? What is on her desk that she really likes?
You know what? Gandamore locks all of us back up in prison.
It's a Bible? Is that what you said? I guess I'll just take this Bible. It seems like it's the only thing that she really likes here.
And you open up the Bible and it's like one of those hollowed out books and there's a gun in it.
Oh God!
Oh, yes. Oh wow. This looks dangerous. I don't know. <That's> just...
This is where he draws the line at handling a gun.
You guys are savages. I wasn't trying to murder anybody.
He says, hoisting his quarterstaff with daggers tied to it over his shoulder.
4 daggers and a pair of toenail clippers just right down there.
Tweezers.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Maurice takes the gun and he jumps through the portal.
Gandamort walks through the portal.
I'm already through the portal.
She's already
in there. Yeah, I was already in there.
Now it's just Knuckles.
Yeah, are you going to take something from her office too?
No, I'm going to look over at her. I'm going to go hold my pocket. And she's not going to do anything, but I'm going to leave then.
Do you also go through the portal?
No, I'm going to go out back to the yard. I'm going to see what Wally's up to. Yeah, I'm leaving.
Wait,
I'm getting in the
back?
Portal. I'm out. And that's it.
Okay. All of you are now imbued inside of the wall with Wally.
Oh, you fuck.
You fucking kidding me.
Oh,
this is the worst.
That's why I thought it was going to be funny if you walked back out, because you were going to walk back out and see everybody.
While we're sitting in the wall, I'm like, yes,
oh
we deserve
God,
this.
Oh my God, that would have been perfect.
We deserve this.
Does Maurice still have the gun in his hand?
Shoot me, Maurice.
No, you have to live here just as long as I have to.
He throws the gun on the ground.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening to this one-shot Prison Break written and DM'd by our very own Alexa. Stay tuned after these music credits for a little short end scene. And one other announcement before I do the music. I'm working on another campaign, just a solo campaign with voice actor for Persephone in this one-shot. A lot shorter episodes, between 30-45 minutes. I'm trying to stick a little more true to the rules of D&D, so I think it's interesting. There'll be some cameos from our previous players on a couple episodes, so I hope that you guys check it out and enjoy it. As for the music on this episode, we have the original songs Adam and My Rise, Your Fall. Those are written and composed and produced by Nicholas Judy and Dark Fantasy Studio. You can find the information for that in the show notes. Thanks.
Do you have feelings of charged electrons in your head? Do you suffer from facial hair standing straight up? Do you hear humming? Do you sometimes feel the blinding pain and flash of lightning in your skull? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you may be suffering from shock ear. But you are not alone. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Electris Shock Aggro. Electris Shock Aggro is the safe, natural way to treat your shock ear. It can help ease the pain of electric shocks that plague you and allow you to live a normal, pain-free life. You will notice the benefits of Electris Shock Aggro almost immediately, and with a regimen of regular doses, you will overcome the obstacle that prevents you from living the life you want. Lightning blasting around your ears will be a thing of the past. Electris Shock Aggro may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use it, but babies who are nursing or still in the womb with shock ear are encouraged to try it. Electris Shock Aggro is not a cure, and spontaneous lightning bolt head explosions are still highly likely despite taking it. There is no cure. Just ask this real-life customer.
Oh yeah, my sister Gertrude finally passed away from shock ear. She was mid-prayer when her head exploded in a miniature electric storm. I wish my son Maurice could have seen her one last time, or at least attended the funeral, but he's stuck in the wall of a prison with a couple of bozos.
Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headaches, dehydration, poison sweats, mage handitis, and for men, a 4-hour erection. Electric Shock Aggro. Ease the storm.